We began last week in the kuntras that we're learning, Yisoid is Bavadis Hashem, Kedushas HaYisoid. Kedushas HaYisoid, it's only a few pages. We need to learn a maimer or two from Rabbi Yerucham to understand this in a deeper way. What does it mean to live in the Metzias of Kedusha, and how a life without Kedusha is a life without living in Metzias, not just the Metzias of Torah Mitzvahs, but Bechlal, living in a make-believe world. So there's a letter in this Shabbos' Mishpacha, and I'm happy that they printed it, and it's exactly what we're talking about. And I don't normally do this, but I think it's a good way to remind us of what it is that we're up against, and what is it that we're working for. And I'm pleased to see that they printed it, because it's a very honest letter from a bacha that knows the truth. The past few weeks, there's been a Shakla Vitaria going on in the magazine. There was an article that was written talking about Yeshiva Bochum Ben Hazmanim. What's Ben Hazmanim? And very, very long, expensive vacations. Come on, not talking about a majority, I don't know, but a significant amount of chevra. Smoking, drinking, vaping, all kinds of Ben Hazmanim activities. And there was a certain mahalach that was being described of those who feel that the boys are working very, very hard the entire Zman learning, and they need to have a break. And they have very few options to relax and so on. And we need to understand that this is something that should be tolerated, and these guys are learning hard the entire time. And there were others that were writing that they don't understand what's going on. So finally, this doesn't usually happen with these publications. They actually printed a letter from a bacher himself, like on the ground. So it's called not a Ben Hazmanim problem. This is exactly what we're talking about. And we'll go right back into the kuntras in a minute. On page 26, you see where it says not a Ben Hazmanim problem. I've read with great interest the recent debate in these pages regarding the amount of leeway society should grant yeshiva bachurim who need to unwind during Ben Hazmanim. While many valid and interesting points have been made, the entire discussion is based on a false premise. We have created this fiction that yeshiva brachim are just so overwhelmed from all their hard work in yeshiva and thus react in a certain way during a few weeks of vacation. And we then debate which activities are okay and which are over the line. But here's the inconvenient truth. There are no such brachim. There are no such brachim. Perhaps we just don't want to admit this publicly, but every former and current yeshiva bacher knows this to be true, or at least they should. If a yeshiva boy is waking up at 10 a.m. during Ben Hazmanim, it's not because he's burned out from waking up at 6 a.m. the whole Zman. This is the impression that was given by many letters that were written, that it's Rachmanis, that they're learning, they're getting up at 6 o'clock and they're learning till 1 in the morning. There are some like that. Talk about those in a second. But he says the ones that are getting up at 10 o'clock during Ben Hazmanim, it's not because he's burned out from waking up at 6 a.m. the whole Zman. It's precisely because he didn't wake up at 6 a.m. the whole Zman. He feels a void in his life. Another Zman has passed, and he feels no sense of accomplishment. He has nothing to wake up for in the morning, and therefore has trouble getting out of bed. I don't know if you know chevra like this. They're all over the place. Why do you think those same brachim also tend to be the ones who come up with all kinds of justifications to leave the Zman early? And the Zman, of course, is shrinking. The Zman is getting shorter and shorter. Ben Hazmanim is getting longer and longer. And even then, multitudes of brachim leave a week, 2 weeks before the end of the Zman. I assure you it's not because they just learned so much this past year and are simply about to crack if they learn a little more. It's because they're bored and feel empty. They need a change of scenery. Let's not kid ourselves here. You want to know where you can find the bracha we learned and accomplished this past month? Go to your local Beis HaMedrash during Ben Azmanim. You'll find him there. You won't find him at the 10:30 Shachas Minyan. When a boy loves learning and feels accomplished in his learning, he continues to learn when he leaves the walls of yeshiva and he doesn't act up on Ben Azmanim trips. If your son is home and you don't see him crack open a Gemara, he does not have a Ben Azmanim problem. He has a Zman problem. Girls, if you want a boy who wants to be Moisa Nefesh to build a kollel home with a true foundation of learning, find the boy who doesn't make excuses for why he needs a break from his work while you don't seem to need the same break for yours. Those boys exist. Do not fall for the soft bigotry of low expectations. Parents, if you're worried about a son who's doing nothing over Ben Azmanim, don't listen to those who reassure you that everything is okay and that this is perfectly acceptable behavior. Trust your instincts. It's a gewaltige letter. It's a gewaltige letter because it's honest. And it gets straight to the core of the problem, which is the problem that we're talking about. Kedushas HaYesod. The bracha who is in a healthy place is in a world of Zman, is in a world of Seder, is in a world of Iskashus, is in a world of learning, is in a world of Davening, Zmanim, Shachvis. What we're seeing now with the Ben Hazmanim, what's going on, and boys walking around in the days at 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, so I'm going to shul, so I'm not going to shul. Those boys are not tired from a whole Zman of learning. That they need now 6 weeks of getting up at 10:30, 11 o'clock, and that they have to go to the Swiss Alps and and vape with their friends at 3 in the morning because of what happened to them during Bava Basra during this Zman. This is not the result of Bava Basra. There's a problem. There's a very deep problem. And there's a tremendous amount of dishonesty. And that's what's troubling, the dishonesty. It's not burnt out from putting in such a hard Zman of learning day and night. And I understand a person should take off. You sleep late the next morning after the Zman. Go to Daven at 8 o'clock instead of at 6:30. One morning off. So there's something much deeper that's going on, and that's what we're talking about. This is the Inyan of Yesod. Not to say that the Bochum who are living with the Zmanim and living in that Seder of the Yeshiva and love learning and not just passing time in Yeshiva. There's a lot of guys, they don't really want to be in Yeshiva and they're stuck in a Mesgeres that they don't want to be in. They have no interest in being there. They love their friends. They love being part of the Jewish world and so on. But they can't sit with Bava Basra for so many hours. And they're going to sleep early, and they're getting up late, and they're leaving the Zman early, and when they have Ben Azmanim, they're up to all kinds of stuff, and during the Zman, with drinking, with smoking, and with all this stuff, and they're falling to pieces. Even for the Bochum that are not like that, it's a struggle to hold on to Kedusha. But the ones who are living completely without Yesod, What are they supposed to do? And then when it comes time for your daughters to get married, you're going to call up and get the shadchan will say that we have a guy learned in the yeshiva this amount of years, he's a gewaldige guy, and then your daughter ends up with one of these guys. Then our daughters end up with one of these guys who are sweet and wonderful, but it's not material for husbands and fathers because of the past 10, 12, 13 years of their lives that was without any basis, without any yesod at all in life. And then all of a sudden you throw them into a life where they have to take care to pay mortgage, to pay rent, to pay tuition, to come home on time, to keep chavruses, to take care of their children, to do homework with the kids, to be at work, and the past 10, 12 years of their lives plus was without any yesod at all. How are they supposed to function as husbands, as fathers? What's supposed to be with them? This is the mitzvah that we're talking about. Again, it doesn't mean chalila, everyone. But just go to any typical yeshiva, and the Seder is supposed to begin at 9 a.m. in the morning. Go into the yeshiva at 9 a.m. when Seder starts. Ask the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashgiach, if he's there, because very often they're not there either. But if he's there, ask what time does Seder begin and how many bachrim are in this yeshiva. Ask how many bachrim in the yeshiva and what time does Seder begin. And if he tells you Seder begins at 9 o'clock and there are 150 bachrim in the yeshiva, count the bachrim in the Beis Medrash. Count them. That wouldn't work in any other institution. It doesn't work at work. It doesn't work in the house when you're supposed to show up, your wife's waiting for you. And the reaction to what I'm saying right now is always, I'll get somebody that's angry, why are you bashing the yeshivas? It's always a reaction. And whenever I ask, why don't you explain? Why don't you respond? Why don't you talk about what's going on? Why don't you address these issues in an honest and real way? Instead of becoming ridiculously insecure and defensive and get all upset there's some guy from RU that's bashing the yeshivas. That's what always happens. Bashing the yeshivas. Bashing the yeshivas. I love the yeshivas. The yeshivas are the most beautiful and holy places on earth. That's why I would like the guys to be there at 9 o'clock learning. And I would like them to be happy and feel that they're gaining something from it. And the guys that don't feel happy there, and they tried it and it's not going, they should get out and do something with their lives where they feel that they're productive, where they're happy, and they feel that that their lives are meaningful. Not that they're getting up at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning looking for some shtiebel someplace, and they learn for a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and they're on their phones, and they go out and breaks back and forth, and then the afternoon Seder. Go to local, go look at different yeshivas, what's going on there in the afternoons. Go at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. What other job is there in the world where people don't have to be there, 2, 3, 4 o'clock? Is there any job like that on earth? What's going on at 2 o'clock? Should we take a class trip to somebody? At 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, where is everybody? In college. Let's find out where they're registered. Let's go see where they are. And then the answer is they work so hard. They're burnt out. You're burnt out. Who's burnt out? What are you burnt out? If it's not for you, then do something else. If it's not for you, if you don't enjoy it, you're burnt out. The ones, like he's saying, Ben Hazmanim, the ones who are in the parish of Yisod, Ben Hazmanim, yeah, they take a day or two off to rest a little bit, to sleep a little bit, and they're in the Beis Medrash. They're back in the Beis Medrash, not because anybody's watching them, because they want to be in the Beis Medrash, because that's what they love. That's what they want to do. So what this Bacher is saying is that if you see that your son is Ben Hazmanim, doesn't pick up a Gemara, and remember the Ben Hazmanim now is not 3 days, it's not 5 days. My father, Lashom, told me that in Europe and Hungary before the war, there was only Tisha B'Av was off. On Shabbos, they were fahered by the roof. And on Yontif, they were fahered. Chol Hamoed and Tisha B'Av, they were off. Period. Okay, you can't even think of such a thing now. Where were they going in Mukach and Ungvar and in Lodz and in Varsha Ben Hazmanim? They were going to visit the Vatican. They were going to Colorado with their friends. Where? Okay, so even if we make an adjustment, we go ahead in time, it's after the war, we took a big clap, people are trying to recuperate, Am Yisrael's having a hard time. The reality is something else. And what it is exactly the sugi that we've been talking about all this time. And then the women are the ones to suffer. And when this Bacher writes to the girls, he says, find the boy who doesn't make excuses for why he needs a break from his work from learning, while you don't seem to need the same break for yours. Why don't the girls get the same? Why is it that we expect the girls to be? How come if you find out that there's a girl that smokes vapes and drinks, that's not okay? If you hear that the girl is smoking or vaping, she's a bad girl. Why is it that the guys are allowed to drink? Boys will be boys. But if there's a girl that Chas Shalom does that, she's a bad girl. Why? Why the expectations anymore for the girls and the boys? And then this girl ends up marrying this guy, who the Rebbe says is one of the finest boys in the yeshiva, and then she marries this guy, and this guy is sitting around and Amos Shabbos with his friend smoking weed, and he's 33 years old. And she's asking, why don't you go to shul on Shabbos? The kids are waiting for you to go to shul. You already have the Yankees, he's already 7 years old, 8 years old. How come you're not taking him to shul? If we get some superstar young rabbi in our neighborhood, you know, if we have Rabbi Yossi Zakatinsky, we'll move to Flatbush, so then our kids, then we'll also go to shul with our kids. But we don't have a Flatbush or Rabbi Yossi. So what are we going to do? The women are already up at 6 o'clock taking care of the kids. The women are already getting back from their third carpool, and you have these guys standing by their windows, rubbing their eyes, looking to see, you know, who's going to shul at 9:45 in the morning. And the women have already been doing three carpools. What is that? It has to do with Kedushas HaBris. It has to do with Yesod. Because the inyan of Yesod is much, much, much stronger in Kedusha, and the opposite when it comes to guys than it is with girls. And there is a difference between guys and girls with this inyan. But that's what it is. It's not because that 33-year-old is tired from all the learning that he's been doing, and that's why he gets up at 9:45 in the morning. It's because he has nothing to live for. It's because he doesn't care about life. He's just looking for his next break to get some kind of a $400 meal in Doma. Duma, I don't know, I get mixed up. Yerde Duma. That's what he's waiting for. Till his boss gives him a ticket to the Super Bowl. With the yarmulke and with everything and with all the talk and putting a lot of Yiddishisms it's all a game. And the Bach is just saying, listen, anybody that's in this knows what this is about. He's not tired from the Masechta. What are you kidding? That's why he's Ben Azmanim running all over the place. That's why this guy's drinking. That's why he's smoking. Because of learning. Because he's knocked out from his learning. The guys are learning all the time. They're learning. And I have no tightness against the guys that are not learning. He doesn't want to learn. That's okay. You don't have to learn. But the game, and the adults are going along with it in order to keep their institutions up. They're going along with it. Poor babies. They need a break, Ben Azmanim, for 6 weeks, 7 weeks. The poor boys, to have a hard life. Because they put in 45 minutes a day learning. This bracha. This is the Metzius that we're talking about. On page Ayin Gimel. Anybody want to say what? Sadik Vav. Anybody want to say something about a rebuttal? I'm happy to hear it. What are your thoughts about this letter? It's okay to spend a few minutes on it. It's Yehuda, I don't have my glasses.
Yeah. I just think that they feel pressure because if they were to say that they don't want to be in Beis Midrash, then they wouldn't be accepted in the community. So they have to put on.
Right. So what's happening is, what Yehuda is saying is that in simple vernacular, they feel that they don't have Bechira. Girls do. They feel that they don't have Bechira. Because if they opt out and they don't go to yeshiva, if you're 17, 18, and you don't go to yeshiva, they've been conditioned to hear they're not going to get the good girl. They're not going to get the nice family. They're not going to get the money. They're not going to get the shver's, job. They're not going to get. And not only that, they're going to be looked down upon as being second, third, fourth class boys, not learners. You're not a learner. And if you're not a learner, you're not good schayra. And if you're not good schayra, what kind of girl they're going to give you? And the boy's a nice boy. He's a frum boy. He wants a nice frum girl. He wants to have a house that's filled with Torah, with Shabbos. He wants a nice girl. But he's been conditioned to hear that if you're not going to be sitting in Beis HaMedrash, if you're not learning, you're not going to get the top tier. You're going to get the lower girl. And when a lower girl, what does it mean a lower girl? A lower girl, who knows what she did, a lower girl. He doesn't want that. He wants a very firm girl. He's a nice boy. So what's he supposed to do, this boy? So the Teretz is, he stays in yeshiva. But he stays because with the Leis Breira, he doesn't want to be in yeshiva. He doesn't enjoy learning. He likes to learn a little bit. Everybody likes learning. He likes to learn an hour, 2 hours. But he can't sit there from 9 o'clock and go through a whole day and then a night seder. He can't do it. So what's going to be with him? So he looks for outlets. And the outlets are getting scarier and scarier. Many of the outlets are unhealthy. If the outlet was just going to the gym or working out, that would be okay, that would be good. But it's not just the gym by a lot of the guys. It's other stuff. And there's everywhere. There's everywhere. In Yushalayim, in Bnei Brak, in Muncie, in Monroe, in the five towns, it's everywhere. And if you start talking about this, the Rosh Yeshiva, that they get unbelievably angry and insulted. How could you say this about Bnei Torah? Not talking about the guys that are sitting and learning. I'm not even saying anything bad about these boys. I'm saying it's Rachmanis on them. I have nothing bad to say about those guys either. I love those guys that are vaping and smoking and going to clubs and stuff. I love them too. I have no tinnitus against them. What's wrong with them? They're just normal, healthy boys, but they don't know what to do because they're put into this metzias, that we created this new metzias, and they don't feel connected to they could learn for an hour or two like Jews used to do, that they learned before work for a half hour, an hour, and they worked after work for a half hour, an hour, and then they go get a job, but they're doing things that they feel happy about and that they're excited about. But instead, the guy's sitting there. He's supposed to be there for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. He's done after an hour. And then Ben Hazmanim, he's sleeping till 10:30 in the morning. If this whole make believe system wouldn't be working this way, that guy would be in shul at 6:30 in the morning, and he'd go to work, like we did for 2,500 years. He'd daven at 6:30 and go to work. He would learn Mishnayos. He would learn a Blat Gemara. Or an Ein Yankov, whatever makes him happy, whatever he likes learning, no one will look down on him. Why do you only learn Mishnayos? What's the matter with you? Why do you only learn Ein Yankov? What's wrong with you? Why are you only learning Parsha? Something's wrong with you. No one will look down on him. He would learn whatever he wants to learn. For half hour, 45 minutes, he daven 6:30, goes to work, comes back, eats something, goes back to the shul, learns for an hour, does the daf, he's happy, says goodnight to his friends, and he goes home. And the ones who are learning Ben Hazmanim, who are the ones that were learning during the Zman, they're holding up the whole world with their learning. Those are the ones that sit and learn all day. And those that are here, the heroes of the, we all love them. Those are the highest Jews in the world. But there's nothing wrong with a guy that can't do that. But we're not, that's what Yehuda is saying, we're not giving them a choice.
Maybe that's the solution.
What?
That's the solution. It's to change the perception. Some kids can't sit all day.
Right, and the teva of a man is that by nature, if he's not living in this with the hiskashus, like we've been learning about the last few months, if he's not makusha to something, we can talk about it on a much deeper level, where that comes from. If he's not makusha to something, he feels horrible about himself. He feels miserable about himself. And when a boy feels bad about himself, then it's with the drinking, and it's with the long trips, and with the nonsense, and with the clubs, and looking for a girl. He feels miserable. He feels empty. The guys that are into the learning, and the makusha to the learning, and to the rebellion, they're happy, they're great. But what about the boys? And there are thousands of them. They don't find the hiskashvus to their learning. But that's the only hiskashvus that's considered to be admirable in our community. It's the only hiskashvus that people look up to. So then what's this boy supposed to do? There's no tainus against him. But he needs a hiskashus to something. He needs to be makusha to something. So you had by the chassidim, that's why I told you many times that the Satmar of Shkusilani, even though you know in Satmar there were things with Lubavitch, but the Satmar Rebbe Shkusilani says, there Mendel's a kliga yid. He said about Lubavitch Rebbe, he's a smart person. He takes his guys that are not into learning and he gets them busy with all kinds of mitzvahim, you know, tefillin and lulavs. He sends them out with all kinds of things to do, and they start Chabad houses, and they're busy. They're busy doing gewaltige things and helping people. But the Samaritan says, but my guys, what's going to do? A boy that's not makusha, if you see that your boy doesn't have his kashrus to the Seder Hayom in learning and in the yeshiva, he's going to look for his kashrus to something else. Because he can't live without yesod. A boy can't live without yesod. So what happens then is pagam habris, major pagam habris. Because with that emptiness and that feeling of disengagement and detachment, they're lost, and then they're pagam and they're bris. They start swimming in an ocean of pagam habris. Because there's no yesod in their lives. There's no zmanim in their lives. You see bochum that are davening at home or sleeping till 10 o'clock, or they're walking and they're dragging their feet to some minions they're looking for at 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning. That's pagam habris. All over, it's written on the kid's head, pagam habris. What? Where? What's he doing with his life? That wouldn't work with any guy. What kind of a parent? I'm saying an Eini Yehudi would let his kid sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing with your life? Get a job. Do something with your life. Clean cars. Go behind the cash register. Something with your life. A guy wouldn't let such a thing. A normal, hardworking, health, refined person wouldn't let his son do that. But we, and I'm Kaddish and I'm Chacham Benavon, we can watch our poor babies walking around like that at 10 o'clock, getting up in the morning at 9:30, going looking someplace to die, in the Shtiblach, whatever. Nobody else in the world could do such a thing. It's not acceptable. Why is he going to daven someplace at 10 o'clock? He's tired? Why is he so tired? From his asmada? That's what the boy is writing. No, the masmidim are in shul at 6:30 in the morning. Everybody knows that. Every one of you that ever went to yeshiva, you know those guys that are masmidim? They are fine. They get their sleep. They're in yeshiva. They're not davening at 10 o'clock in the morning, the masmidim. The masmidim are there 10 minutes before. They're usually there an hour before learning something else before minyan. Those are the guys. So who are the guys that are rubbing their eyes at 9:30 looking where did they put their tefillin yesterday? They don't remember where they put their tefillin. Who are those guys? I'm not saying anything bad about them. They're just in the wrong place.
So, I mean, what's the solution? If they can't stay in the yeshiva and they can't leave the yeshiva, so what's the solution?
Well, some of them kill themselves. They overdose. Some of them just overdose. You want to know what's a good solution? Because there are solutions. There are solutions.
But it's also the bar is set so high. You idolize Rosh Hashivas in the millionaires. The guy that gets up and becomes an electrician, he's an electrician.
Right, we have to, what Shalom is saying is very important. And please be marachim if I, this letter got me so fuck. I was from this letter, I couldn't stop thinking about it. What Shalom is saying is, why don't we idolize like we used to? Hardworking painters, electricians, plumbers, these beautiful Jews. My father's, I sing as always in Nebuch, my father, Avraham Shalom, was a dry cleaner. He was a holy Jew. You know people like that. I grew up with people like that in shul. And we loved them. We idolized them. They sat the head of Hever Mishnayas. They were holy people. But we're not telling that to our kids. So now the what Shalom said is that the bar is set very high. Even the ones that they admit, okay, I'm not a learner. Okay, I can't sit and learn. They want to become right away multimillionaires. They want to be right away multimillionaires. I had a conversation with somebody last night, not from New York, from out of town, where there are a bunch of guys, they're all Shomer Torah mitzvahs, where they on a regular basis, they charter their own plane. Listen to this. And they fill this plane, I'm sorry to say, with women who they pay. And they're having parties on this plane. The guy that's in charge of it is a very, very rich guy that's a big Askin, very well respected in his community. And this one guy, this guy was calling me, told me that he told this guy that he can't live this way anymore, and he's telling his wife, and he's going to tell this guy's wife, and the guy fired him and threatened him he's going to destroy his life if he tells on him. So he called me with a shaila, what do I do? So everybody's from. Everybody's al chetzer chaton. Understand? They talk about al chetzer chaton, and it's chartered airplane. So the problem, it's not anymore to be a hardworking guy that starts off at the bottom, that goes to apprentice by a plumber or by an electrician, because who are you? And then that girl's mother from Flappers doesn't want a boy like that either, right? I don't mean to say anything bad about Flappers, Chassar Shalom. I'm just a Chassar Shalom. Flappers is like everybody else, the beautiful people. I don't mean going for it. I'm just using his emotion. It doesn't make a difference. Who is this boy? Where does he learn? Do you know where he learns? Tell you the truth, he learned until he was in yeshiva. He went for Yidabis Medrash, and he felt that he wanted to go to work. And right now, he's apprenticing for an electrician. By the way, an electrician can make a very nice panos. He's apprenticing for an electrician. For my Shendela. And Shendela herself just came back from seminary, where she was conditioned hearing 1,000 sichot from some mechanechet, whose parents bought a nice apartment in Ramat Eshkol, and this girl heard 100 sichot about you don't marry a guy like that. That guy that's studying to be an electrician, he's for a different kind of girl. I want a guy that's going to learn for many years. And I asked these girls, why do you want a guy that's going to learn? What does that do for you? What does that mean? So then they start saying back. They look in their notes a little bit. I want to have a house that's filled with Torah. But what does that mean? What does that mean you want to have a house that's filled with Torah? You want to ask your husband what Taisu says in Yavamas? What do you mean you want to have a house that's filled with Torah? It means you want to have a house? You want to have a husband that's an Elch Yid? You don't think the electrician's an Elch Yid? I'd rather take any electrician that gets up 6 in the morning, goes to Davin, and learns a little bit, and then goes to work hard and comes home, and learns a little bit, than one of these guys that's dragging around doing time. Because the electrician is a choshev person and he's machshev Torah. He doesn't just say that he's machshev Torah, he's machshev Torah. And he's machshev Yiddishkeit. And he's honest. He's honest. And he puts in an honest day's work. But that's not anymore in our community. The electrician, a plumber, even a doctor or something like that, you have to go to school for many years. No, you want to leave yeshiva, get in with some group that has their own chartered plane, and become in 3 months to be a multimillionaire and to be a guy that can charter his own plane, and that goes takes his plane to Dubai with a bunch of girls. Why can't anybody talk about this? Is not the truth. Again, I'm not saying this is the klal yisrael, but this is not a serious problem. Do you know when this if this gets around, do you know what kind of trouble I get into? You know that people were upset with me about the joke that I made that went around because I made a joke at the Lamatas Malachas Chabur. I got a couple of people got very upset with me. I said, why are you getting so upset about that? What is it exactly that upsets you? What are you upset about? You don't have a sense of humor? If you don't have a sense of humor, the joke is about you. The joke is about people who don't have a sense of humor. But why is it that joke got you upset? What are you so upset about? What do you get so worked up about? Are you bashing Rosh Yeshivas? I'm bashing. You think the Chofetz Chaim would want people to be in Gehenna? I think the Chofetz Chaim wants people to be in Gehenna. What are you so upset about? Do you think I think that way about the Chofetz Chaim? What is it that gets you so worried? What are you so nervous about? What are you so angry about? The truth. That there's a corruption at the core. Dishonesty at the core. And I'm not chalila pointing my finger at any particular older Rosh Yeshiva. My eyes are holy and righteous people. But there's a dishonesty at the core of the system. And as a result of that, there's a new picture of a Jew that a person that's a hardworking person that puts on some overalls and goes to work, that there's something wrong with him. Something is wrong with such a Jew. When was it in the history of Am Yisrael that there was something wrong with a Jew who goes to work and who learns a little bit, goes to Minyan on time, and that person is an Ish Yisodi. He goes to Minyan on time every day. No, Yeridus. He's in Minyan for 50 years every day. He goes to work on time. He calls in sick once every 12 years. Maybe. Not like you go to the yeshivas and you got supper sitting at plates, dirty plates, sitting outside half the dormitory rooms. Sick boys, 16 years old, 17 years old. Why are there so many sick yeshiva brachim? Did you ever? You were in yeshiva, any of you? You ever figure that out? Why? Where else in the world do you have guys that are 16 and 17 years old that don't feel well so often? Why don't you feel well? You're 16 years old. What's the problem? Why are your friends bringing you supper to the room? There are yeshivas where it's only every Erev Pesach they take those plates away. Why are healthy young men sick so often? Why are healthy young men, why do they have so many colds? Why do they always feel run down? Why do they seem to walk slowly, dragging their feet? Why do they have their heads down? Why aren't they not making eye contact? Why? Answer the question, why? Why are young men not healthy? Because all the things that would make them healthy, they're told are not proper. Are not acceptable. Those are not the guys. The guys that are into learning, the guys that are the masmidim, they're not sick. They're healthy. Because they're happy. Because the ones that love learning, they're happy. And because they're happy, they're 16, 17, 18-year-old boys, the batteries are good. When you get to be 65, 70, 75, you understand, sometimes you get... But why is it that a bacha can't go to shul every single day at the same time when you got 80-year-old people go to shul every day at the same time? With all of his aches and pains, he gets to shul. You know why? Because he loves going to shul. That's why he's 80 years old and he goes to shul. Because that's his life. And he feels that's who he is. He's not being forced to go to shul when he doesn't want to go to shul. He wants to be in shul. What about his aches and pains? He's misgaber. He's Masgabri. He's 80 years old. Gvura. And he goes to shul. This guy's 16 years old. He's lying there in bed. His friends are bringing him breakfast or something. He sits in his pajamas putting on his tefillin. It's already good. He's sitting in his pajamas putting on his tefillin at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. Ben Hazmanim. Your grandfathers, what kind of Ben Hazmanim did they have in their lives? Who had a Ben Hazmanim? What's a ben az, what does it mean a ben azmanim? What ben azmanim? Take off 2-3 days. What's the ben azmanim? You get off for yontif. That's what the Baruch Shem gave, Shabbos and yontif. What's ben azmanim? What does that mean? And watch this year what happens, because this year is a special year. You know why? Not Shemitah. It's an Ibiyur. What happens by an Ibiyur? Even though the English calendar comes out 12 months. But if it's an Ibiyur, just like a friend of mine told me that the yeshiva sent an extra tuition for other bays. So he sent back, when you keep my kid in yeshiva in July, I'll pay you for other bays. But now it's an Ibiyur. Let's see what happens when it comes to ready Nach Purim. I don't mean Nach Purim. I'm talking about Purim Katan. Not Purim, regular Purim. Purim Katan, what's going to be? After Purim Katan. The exodus that's going to take place from the yeshivas. Purim Katan. They're trying to figure out how do we keep the boys in the yeshiva till Purim? Because they're ready to hear the word Purim Katan. Purim Katan. I'm out of here. I'm done. This is an Ibiyur. What's going to be Ibiyur? To check to see what happens with the guys in an Ibiyur. And then the answer is, it's very, very hard. They had an extra month in yeshiva. If you like doing that, why is it hard? Seriously, if I get an extra hour to learn, I'm thrilled. And all of you are happy if you have an extra hour to learn. We love that. So if you don't like learning, then don't do it. If you're not happy, then don't do it. Then do something else. But do something with the hiskashus. Do something that has that. Do some, help your parents with the bills. Do something with your life. What are you dragging around like that, walking with nothing in your life? And again, I don't blame them. They're in a system they're locked into this inyan where they don't have free choice. And they don't know what to do. They're trapped. So is there a solution to this? The only solution I believe is going to come from like it says before Mashiach comes, Yelad Kotin Yinahigbam is going to come from the children. It's going to come from the kids themselves and from the Amcha Beis Yisrael, from regular parents. It's not going to come from the system. It's already happening because there are already people who are trying to start different kinds of places and try to make it more acceptable for a bacher to learn a trade. People are working at it. There are very, very holy and wonderful people that are trying to work at this. Usually it's coming from the people that have kids like this. But the solution is an emergency situation. It's not simple. They can. And if they would be, that goes to the second part of the program. If you would take these very same boys and you would learn with them who the Rabbanu Shlomo is. Now we're getting to the second part. And you would set them on fire with their Yiddishkeit, then they would want to be in yeshiva too. And they'd be happy learning also till they would be 18, 19, 20, even further. But then you put them in the yeshiva. You don't tell them a word about God. They have no idea why they're learning. They don't know who they're davening to. There's no kashrus to anything. There's no God. There's no kashrus to anything. There's a 15 minutes Musa Seder. They don't have anything. There's nothing. They're not being taught to have his kashrus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're being taught that you have to learn. And they're hearing a thousand sikhas and shmuzim on learning. And you have to learn more. And every single sikha that they hear, this guy wants to learn less. But there's no hiskashus to Yiddishkeit. There's no hiskashus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why don't we? So there are people that are trying to do that. But that's not what's happening in the typical yeshiva. They're not talking to them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're 100% right. If you sit down with the boys and you work with them and you talk to them and you learn with them the Yud Gimli Karma of Emunah and the Simcha and you show them the beauty of Yiddishkeit and with the Gemara, with everything else, but you show them the beauty of it, then they're going to love the Gemara too. They're going to want to learn more. But they're supposed to get that from someplace else. They're supposed to get that from their father, who's not home because he's on a chartered flight someplace. That's where they're supposed to get that from. From the father. The yeshiva leaves Amunah up to the parents. And the parents are leaving it up to the school. And the kid's looking for a girlfriend on Central Avenue. He's in between the school and the parents, which is Central Avenue, or 13th Avenue, or wherever neighborhood you are in, whatever that avenue is. He's looking for something in between. No, Yehuda, you're out there. You've been doing this for a long time. Tell me, is there something? Is this wrong? Is this? You see the Metzias?
It's a problem. It's a problem on both ends. That's it. It's a problem on both ends. It's like, I think with girls, the pressure that they're under.
With the girls.
12th grade and 9th grade, everything revolves around the seminary and the shidduch.
Right.
Everything.
Right. They start talking about shidduchim and all this stuff when they're already in 10th grade, 11th grade, and with the seminary, what seminary you go to. Because this whole thing generates that pressure of what seminary. It's not enough just to be a nice, firm girl.
And then the it seems to me like then the guy, there's so much pressure to get that yeshiva guy that all this stuff falls to cracks. They get that guy.
Yes. Then there's that bitter pill that she swallows that first morning when she sees that her guy's in bed. And it's already past the Zman of Davening. And she says, is everything okay, honey? And then he starts to get, after this happens a few times, he gives this speech, you don't understand. And she says, what? I was told that you're very serious about learning. Well, I was. But let me, you know, you just don't know how guys are. Then he gives her the, like, you don't understand guys. And then the next thing she knows, she finds something on the guy's phone. Now it's not just sleeping late. She finds something, and he says, oh, I forgot to hide my phone. You found something on my phone? And she says, I didn't sign up for this. And then he says, you don't understand guys. She says, could you tell me, like, what am I missing about guys? They told me you were like a real stark yeshiva guy. Because I was the girl that went to the good seminary, and I married the stark guy. So why is my stark guy sleep till 9:30? Well, I'm doing a million things for him. And why does my stark guy have pictures on his phone? Because you don't understand guys. Guys. This is how guys are. This is the way guys are. And she's just like this nice, firm girl. Just like the wife of this guy that's on the chartered flight. Just a nice lady. A totally fine, firm lady. She doesn't know what her husband's doing. Well, now she knows what her husband is up to. And the answer is, no, guys. But I wanted to marry. I went to seminary, and then the shadchanta said that this is a fantastic shidduch. You're a great guy. Now you're telling me that guys are different. That's not how guys are. It's all this sugya of pagam habris yisod, and the boys are and you watch them walking in, and I see them when they're little. They're so beautiful. They're so sweet. And I'm davening, what's going to be with them when they go through this system? Are they going to end up being one of the guys that they're able to somehow find themselves and be those, you know, or are they going to end up, God forbid, one of those guys that's just doing it because? And then if you're doing it because, then at some point, that wife is just asking these questions about, like, what's up with you? What's up with you? Why is it that, how did I end up marrying somebody? Forget about that he's not sitting here learning all day. How many of the women are complaining to me from different places? The husband, like I spoke about last week, the husbands don't go to shul on Shabbos. You know how many people there are on the five towns? The men that don't go to shul on Shabbos. They don't go to shul. How did she end up with such a person? What happened? Who sold her to such a thing? Such schayra. And don't think they're not wonderful guys. They're great guys. But and somebody, the way they write these letters, like an article, how some of the boys fell through the cracks. Stop using that term, fell through the cracks. Nobody falls through the cracks. They were thrown through the gaping holes. They didn't fall through any cracks. There's no. You make it sound like everything is gewaldic, and sometimes there's a boy that falls through the cracks. Give me a break. Nobody's falling through the cracks. There are cavernous holes, and they're falling, trying to hold on to the walls, and they can't hold on any longer, and they fall through those holes. They're not falling through the. Not slipping through the cracks of the system. The system's not doesn't have little cracks. They're gaping, huge, cavernous craters, and the guys, and to their credit, they're trying to hold on for dear life, and at some point they're saying help, and nobody's paying attention. He's not a good boy. He doesn't come to learn, doesn't come to that, and they're holding on to the side of the crater, and then they fall in, and then they take their wife and they take their kids and they go, and everybody's such a shame. He's a big Balkishman. It's a big Balkishman. He really knew how to learn. What happened to him? What happened? What happened to him? You weren't watching him slip. You didn't watch him fall. You didn't see that. You didn't see what was going on. You had your thing with your guys, and they were crowding around you after the shia, and they were crowding around you asking something. What about the ones that fell through the cracks? They fell through the cracks. You want to go right now to Bnei Brak, to Yerushalayim, and take a walk around and see how many people can you get through those cracks? I mean, if they're cracks, how do so many people fit through those cracks? Cracks you can only get, I understand, one or two. How do you fit so many thousands of people between cracks? And then what becomes of them? Everything I was talking about until now, everything I was talking about now is America. And it's just so, whoa. Because there was the choice then, the army. The army is for who? The army is, they're told since they're kids, you go to the army, I see this guy. No more Yiddishkeit, no more Jew. So what are we supposed to do? The army. Here, at least, if you could be an electrician. Over there, the army. So what's going to happen with them? So talk about no free choice. If you stay there, you have to, then the army. So then they tried to make, when Reb Leib Steinemann, so then when he was supporting the Nachal Haredi, that there should be a way for frum guys to be in the army and to be with other frum guys and to have chavrusas, then what happened? Osir. They broke into his house. They threatened his life. Osir. We can't have that. No frum soldiers. Nothing. So what are the guys in Israel supposed to do? America, it's a halbitzer in America, really. But in Eretz Yisrael, what are the frum guys supposed to do in Eretz Yisrael? What are they supposed to do if you're a frum guy in Eretz Yisrael? What are you supposed to do if you don't? If you're not into learning, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to manage in Eretz Yisrael? For these guys, it's unbelievable. And anybody that's in the inyan knows it's a magefa of guys that are sick and they don't know what to do. With these guys. Sick. And if you say army, anybody that says, well, maybe they should go to the army, they're gonna break down this guy's house for saying such a thing. If the Rebbe says, maybe you should go to the army, you'll feel good about yourself. You're protecting Jews. Do something good with your life. You'll help other Jews. And they'd make great soldiers, these guys. And they'd help other Jews. Oh, sir. Because of what? Zionism? Give me a break. This is not Zionism. We're not talking about Tal Desarin, you understand? This is not about Zionism. It's something else. It's not Zionism. It's the system. And it's the system. It has a lot to do with money and how to support and how to keep things going a certain way. This is not Zionism. Give the kid something to do with his life. He'll feel proud about himself. I know guys like that. Then they go to the army and he feels, I'm doing something. I'm helping Jews. They love Jews. They want to help Jews. They want to help the people. Instead, what's he doing over there? He's sitting something with a joint someplace in some back alley and doing nothing with his life. And then he gets married and it continues on and on. It's a brochen. Our children, dysfunctional homes. All the solutions are in Torah. Everything is here. But like you said, we have to learn what this is. We have to understand what it is. And we have to be able to recognize and to talk to our kids. And they should see that we understand them. What could we do institutionally? I don't know. Things are starting. But at least we could try that our children should feel comfortable and honest they could talk to us. That's the beginning. That's Aleph. That's the Aleph, that they could talk to us. I'm sorry I took the whole time. I'll try not to read Mishpacha next week.